Blog Talk Radio.
Your Place, Love Connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us tonight as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. Tonight is every night we're getting ready to start our devotion, but we'll be talking about the theme of prayer and spiritual warfare led by Dr. Charles Spurgeon and obviously through the study of the Word of God. And so we're excited tonight as we have you join us. We're going to start off with a prayer. And after prayer, we're going to have a song. We'll have prayer. Then we'd like to have scripture. Then we'll have a song. And then after the song, we will have intercessory prayer again. So prayer, we'll have a scripture. Then we'll have a song. And then we'll have intercessory prayer again. And we'll start our devotion. So as we start tonight, I'd ask that you join me. God, we come before you and so anticipatory because we know this is our time to sit at your feet. Oh, we thank you, Majestic One. We thank you, God of creation. God is the ruler of this world. We thank you, the one who chooses to give us audience tonight so that we can glean from some of the revelation knowledge you desire to impart with us. And as we come before you, O God, we are like children, thrilled and excited to learn more of you because we want to grow and to be more like you. And so tonight, Lord, you know we've been working with Dr. Spurgeon as he's been teaching us about the power of prayer, how he's teaching us about praying successfully, and how we're gleaning and getting excited and growing and learning because our prayers have become richer and the answers to our prayers have become fuller. Thank you, O God, for listening to us. Thank you for giving us audience, and thank you for the education that we're giving and sharing with those around us. We ask these blessings tonight and always that you continue to be with us and help us to share it, help us to magnify it in our own lives. And Lord, no matter what it is, never leave us nor forsake us. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Let us all say amen and amen. We're going to have a scripture reading tonight by Bishop Michael Snoddy. Bishop, would you read a scripture for us tonight?
Susie, I will do that. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version from Psalm 50, 10 through 15. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and I will honor, and you will honor me. Let's read that last verse again. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Amen. Now we'll hear a song.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
We will try to stop it. But anyway,
thank you, Lord.
Now is our time for our intercessory prayer. So, Bishop Michael, if
Amen.
You would lead us, we very much appreciate that.
Yes, yes. Are there any prayer requests that we have tonight that we can take before the throne?
I have several.
Okay.
Quite a few, Bishop. First one, I want to lift up Margaret. She's not at home. So I want the work that she has to do, that the Lord would lead and guide her with what she has to deal with in her endeavors. I'd ask that we pray for her daughter and their family. Secondly, and I also ask that we pray for others on the Bible study. I did talk to Britt, and he's said he'd like to be a participatory, but he's not in the city much anymore, and he's actively doing another ministry with people in Las Vegas, so we want to pray for his continued work. We also
mm-hmm.
want to lift up Shirley Hitz as she is trying to serve and help her church, and she said she looked for some time she would be able to participate. And we pray for Eric because we haven't heard from him and don't quite know how he's doing. So
okay.
also want to pray for the whole Bible study. Lift up Jerry. Jerry has said that he might come on today, but he's not feeling well. So we want to pray to break the stronghold of depression. We also want to lift up myself for healing. What else is kind of important with the Bible study? And just lift up today's Bible study so that we can be, you know, as effective as possible. And the different countries that God is reaching out so that those people will have education and know that God is answering their prayers even where they are. So I also to
Amen.
Pray for Dr. Jackson's health as well.
Yes. Amen. Is there anybody else that has any prayer requests?
Oh,
I want to
Sylvia
pray.
Trotter.
Yes, Dr. Seuss.
Sylvia Trotter.
Sylvia Trotter.
I forgot. She asked for prayer, and I need prayer about my job.
Yes. Yes.
And the veterans.
I want to.
Please include the veterans,
Amen.
Bishop.
Yes.
And the church and the revival in the church.
Yeah, well, see, that's the Holy Spirit, because that's what I was going to say. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's go before the throne. Lord, we come before you, and we thank you. You are Adonai, you're our master, you're our Lord, and you are God. Some call you Abba, Father, Daddy, intimate term for Father. Jehovah Yireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Elohim, our Father and Creator. Jehovah Shalom. Lord, we need you right now. We come before you praising you, thanking you for this opportunity to pray. Thank you for taking us into your palace, into your very throne room. We bless you, we glorify you, we honor you, we worship and adore you. We give you the glory and the praise, Lord, for who you are in our lives. Lord, we thank you for this Bible study and this forum. We thank you for the countries, the people in the different countries that are listening to us, Lord. We pray your anointing would be on this Bible study, Lord, that you would give us revelation knowledge as we teach and educate and are educated by your Holy Spirit. We bless you and glorify you and lift you up in Jesus' name. We lift up our dear Margaret, our dear sister Margaret, Lord, that, Lord, she has work to do. You have her on assignment, and we pray, Lord, that you would give her the words to say. And, Lord, just let her be sensitive to your voice, God, that you would let her hear on and give her the wisdom that she needs, Lord, and that you would give her the guidance in every step that she would take in the direction that you would have her go. We lift up the daughter and we lift up those kids, God, in the name of Jesus. We lift up everybody that is involved with this situation. Holy Spirit, you can orchestrate. No one can orchestrate and fix things like you can. So let your kingdom come and your will be done in this situation, we pray and we ask in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you and glorify you, and we praise you for Brett and bless him in his endeavors, Lord. Bless his ministry. Bless him where he is, even in Las Vegas. Lord, there's some work to be done in Las Vegas, and I pray, God, that you would help him and lead him and guide him in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up Shirley before you right now. We ask that you bring her back, Lord. And even as she's helping her church, Lord God, I thank you that you would give her godly inventions and witty ideas, God, for the ministry that she's working in. Lord, bless Eric wherever he is, Lord. You know him. You know what's going on with him. So bless him and keep him, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up our dear brother, Jerry. And God, you can give us a spirit of joy in place of a spirit of heaviness. So God, I pray that you would baptize Jerry with joy and gladness, God. Use him, even in the state that he's in. Use him, God. Use him for your glory and for your name's sake, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And God, we lift up Dr. Susie for healing. Lord, heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Everything that concerns Dr. Susie, I pray that you would touch her. Touch her family, touch her children, God. In the name of Jesus, we bless you and glorify you and lift you up. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can even ask or even think. Lord, we lift up this Bible study right now. And Lord, we lift up the different countries and the different places around this country where people are listening in. We need you like never before, God. In the name of Jesus, we lift up Dr. Jackson and Sylvia Trotter. You know what they stand in the need of the most. And Lord, for the veterans, God, thank you for bringing them home. Thank you for their service. Thank you for their sacrifice. Now, Lord, we ask that you heal them from every manner of dis-ease. From physical, mental, emotional, Lord, take them in your arms and hold them close to your bosom, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we pray for a revival across this world, in every country, in every surrounding country that is around the countries that we're ministering to now. Let the power of the Holy Ghost sweep through those countries and let there be a revival that is unrivaled in history. Not even
close to the Azusa Street revival. Lord, let us have a revival that changes our lives, changes our thinking, changes the way we act and interact with each other, that we would be the better after the touch of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, we give you the adoration, and we thank you for the furtherance of this broadcast. In Jesus' name, be with us, we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to add one other thing. I know it's, your prayer is over, but I want us to continue. Jerry told me that his daughter needs prayer, too. I just remembered. So as we're going through this week, please continue to lift her up in prayer for healing. So thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
You know, I did check to see who is on the line tonight. And there are people, but they're a little quiet and don't want to talk, so they're going to sit and listen tonight. So the only people who will be talking tonight, Bishop, is you and I for a while. So I got them said, you know, people want to listen, but they don't want to talk. So that's quite all right. We will continue to, you know, do what God has called us to do and thank God for it. So as we, I just want to praise God. We've been having such a good Bible study. And just like Margaret just joined us, but we've been having such good Bible study. And, you know, Dr. Spurgeon is just awesome. And he's done such an awesome job teaching us about prayer. And one thing I can honestly say is he's very consistent and in his philosophy. And I enjoy the scriptures that he leads us to. And so as you read the Psalms passage where he says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. So, Bishop, when you hear that, and Margaret, we're so glad that you joined us. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm late. Mom came home late from work, and I could not get away from those two little boys until she did.
Well, we are excited that you joined us tonight. And so
me too.
I just read the scripture of Psalms 50:15, and it says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee too. And then, and as a result of that, thou shalt do what? Glorify
me.
And so when you hear that, what jumps out at you? Both of you, when you hear that, what jumps out at you? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
It's a command from the Lord?
Yeah.
To call upon him in the day of trouble. And when we do, he promises that he will deliver us. And then we should glorify him. So it's a command and it's a promise. And then another command.
So how has that manifested in your life?
Well, when there's all hope is gone, God is there for us, and we know we can call upon him, and there's still hope. He is the lifter up of our heads. We can still keep hoping and striving to stay alive or help someone else. Even when it appears all hope is gone, there's the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Bishop Michael, what jumps out at you and how does that manifest in your life?
One real life situation where it happened. I was in a whiteout condition in Illinois, and I actually watched the temperature go from 17 degrees to 10 degrees in less than 30 minutes. And I was stuck in a snowbank. I was stuck in a snowbank. The drifts were very high, higher than the backs of 18-wheelers.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, Lord, is this it?
Well, if it is, I'm ready to meet you. I'm ready to come home. But, Lord, could you please send some help? It was not even
Amen.
5 minutes after I prayed that prayer, I saw a flashlight shining into my window saying, Lord, saying, Mr. D, can I take you somewhere? Well, where I was headed, the snow plow driver knew the person where I was headed. And what ended up happening, God took that situation because the place where I was headed, was related to the person where they took me to. And they were trying to get in touch with each other. But when he said, where were you going? I said, I'm going out to Calvary Lighthouse to Dr. Horvath's church. And Dr. Horvath had been trying to get in touch with this guy. This guy had been trying to get in touch. And just because I got stuck in a snowbank during a whiteout condition, God hooked them back up, and God got the glory out of all of it. I was just the conduit. And I got stuck in a snowbank. I didn't do nothing big. God did the big thing and showed me something of himself that I called on him. And he delivered. Lord, he delivered me because the temperature went down, not wind chill factor, the temperature went down to 35 degrees below zero.
So what you're saying is you were in the car and the temperature dropped from 17 to 10, and then the snow banks were so high, and then somebody came and asked you if you needed to get someplace. Were they going to leave? You were going to have to leave your car?
I left the car, yes.
Well, it sounds like you may have saved your life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you
talk about being delivered.
Death. Amen.
And 35 degrees below zero, and there was not too much gas left in the car. So,
were there cars everywhere, Bishop?
Oh, definitely.
Wow.
There were so many cars that had to be abandoned and left out there on that road in Illinois between Rockford and Rochelle, Illinois.
Amen.
And praise God, on that night, there was no loss of life on that highway.
Amen. Amen, amen. Well, when I listen to this, and it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It reminded me of the time when my daughter died, and she died on a Sunday, and it was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys put your phones on mute? It was on a Sunday, and it was unexpected, happened overnight. I felt as though it was the worst trouble, per se, worst experience in my life that my daughter would die unexpectedly, to where it's so type of stuff that happens and you go, is this real? Are you pinching yourself? It's happening unexpectedly, but there's nothing you can do about it, obviously. And so you go, how are you going to deliver me from this, Lord? How are you going to deliver me from this? And then she died on Sunday, had a funeral on Wednesday, and my son almost died on Saturday. And it's like, how are you going to deliver me from this? And so what happened is people would come over to the house and try to help. And I remember my pastor said he was trying to talk to me, and I was sleeping in the same space, same spot for 30 minutes, same spot. Didn't even know it. Sleeping in the same spot for 30 minutes. So things happen, and you think that people aren't going to make it, that, I remember I was rocking in my grandmother's chair for at least 15, 20 minutes a day, and I just would rock and rock and rock because that was my only consolation. And it was so scary that when I was able to get through it, when I was able to get on the other side of that winter time in my life, God got all the glory, because some people did not come out of those kind of incidents. They went to the crazy house. Some people were not able to handle the loss of a child, but actually lost it. And so not only was I able to do that, not on my own, obviously, but I've been able to help other women who've gone through it that would not talk to anybody else, but because I had gone through it, they were willing to talk to me. So I give God the glory. God's received the glory. And so that's what came to mind for me. So y'all get off the mute. So when
Amen.
We look at this, when we look at this, it's so phenomenal of the times. How do you all perceive this interacting with us in our current situation of life in the United States?
One is there's that promise. He gives us the command to call upon him in the day of trouble. And I believe we can all agree our country's in trouble.
Amen.
And we, if ever there was a time we needed to call on him, it's right now.
Right
Put
now.
Put aside our differences.
Amen.
And call upon God. And we have that promise. And we'll get into that later, but we have that promise that God says, I will, not I might, but I will deliver you. And I mean, we have, that's what our hope is hanging on, is the promise, and that's a good place to hang your hope, on the promises of
Come
God.
On. Of God.
Yes.
That he will deliver us.
Do exactly what
he
said.
God. Yes, he'll do what he says.
That's it. Amen.
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 Amen. So, Bishop, being a, I'm picking on you here. One of the things I really enjoyed when Dr. Spurgeon opened up the book, he was talking about the story by Robinson Crusoe, and that was one of my favorite stories as well. Did you read? You enjoy that one, Margaret? I know you read it. But
yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
That?
And I
yeah,
like
so
the example here. I didn't focus in on the major point that Dr. Spurgeon made, was that it was a salvation experience for Robinson Crusoe on the island when he stumbled upon the Bible, and he was all alone and terribly. In a terrible place, and it was a time of trouble for him. He was so ill and nearly died, and he read this passage, this very passage that Dr. Spurgeon started the Bible study chapter with, Psalm 50, verse 15, and the Lord promised to deliver Robinson Crusoe and commanded him to glorify God, and he became a Christian there on that isle. So it was a wonderful message that somehow, though I read the book, I didn't remember that part. So I'm glad to see it again.
And that just goes to show you that God can and does save sailors. Amen.
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 All right.
Thank
sailor.
You, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm a sailor.
Once
a
what
sailor,
do you know
I'll
about that,
sailor.
Bishop?
Bishop, are you a sailor?
I was again on my ship in 1983. On my ship, I asked God to come into my heart.
Amen.
And it's been a wonderful journey ever since. But, you know, I just, you know, threw a little bit of humor in there that there, this guy was a sailor and he lived a debauchery, a life of debauchery as
yeah.
Brother Spurgeon talked about, and God delivered him. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Great.
And now
God.
That's a fictitious character, but now you're talking to the real person. I lived a life of debauchery, but God called
all
on
right.
him. Nobody was around, and I called on him, my faintest cry from my spirit to the ears mm-hmm. of in the throne room of heaven. And God saved me and put me on a street called straight. The things I, that, like the old folks used to say, things I used to do, I don't do no more.
Mm-hmm.
Places I used
right.
to go, I don't go no more. I don't even want to go no more. Because he delivered me and he gets all the glory. Because my family tripped and said, oh, he's going through a phase. Well, that phase has lasted over 40 years. Thank you, God.
Amen.
To God be
Amen.
The glory.
But you know, Bishop, the exciting part about that piece for me was that anybody can have a shipwrecked life. Anybody
yes.
can encounter something that will devastate you to where you are shipwrecked. You can't figure out what does it mean to be shipwrecked? It means that you don't have any other way of survival to where he found himself on this desert island. With no other place, no other place to turn, no other situation. He was alone, as you said. How many times do we go through stuff that is so devastating that our lives feel like it's destroyed or we can't recover from it, and you're by yourself? And that's what was happening here. He was in one of the worst conditions you can think of. And many of us are in that condition. And what was so bad about it is it got worse. It wasn't bad
yeah.
enough that he was shipwrecked. It wasn't bad enough that he was alone. But dadgummit if he didn't get sick and get a fever on top of that. And when you get a fever and you're shaking and you're so sick you can't go get no water. Woo! He was
the hard
so
place
Come
to
on
be.
Now.
Didn't have anybody to help him. So I don't know about you, but I know what it's like to be sick and ain't got no help. And that's a terrible place to be. But imagine being on an island, being someplace where you don't have elements of comfort and you don't feel good, no help by yourself, ain't got nobody that you can call up. God will create what's needed to get you to come to the throne. Come on. Come on,
yes,
somebody.
Yes, he'll do it.
Amen.
Yes, he will. He's
and
able.
So that to
Not
me.
Not only is he able. Come on.
That to me is what's significant. That example is an example that all of us can see and understand and identify with. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't know the Lord. I ain't talking about people who just don't know the Lord. I'm talking about people who know the Lord and have found themselves in a place where they need to call on him because they're by themselves.
Amen.
We have opportunities that God creates for us to get to know him better, get to know God better. Amen. So this was very passionate for me and very important to me because it reminded me that just like you said, Margaret, about Robinson Crusoe, that this became a salvific moment for him because it was so bad that he didn't have any other recourse but to call out to the Most High. And in doing so, he had hope in something bigger than himself. See, sometimes there's folks out here that think they don't need anybody. I got a friend. I talked to him. I prayed for him today. And he doesn't know the Lord. And he goes to classes to get help with his alcoholism. And he gets through the program, but because he doesn't have anything greater than himself, come on, somebody,
mm-hmm.
he is drawn back again and again because the enemy is whipping his butt. But I keep seeing in his world and in his life and saying, okay, do you mind if I pray? I ain't going to ask you to pray, but let me, is it okay if I pray?
Yeah.
Well, let's look at your spirituality. Yeah. To continue to remind him, well, why don't you think about coming back in again and seeing what help you can get through recovery? Let's talk about your spirituality. Have you sought that out, meaning and purpose in your life? What are the things that we can look at? And so as I keep trying to be a positive influence, you know, their relationship is established. And I keep hoping and praying that something will happen one day where he does not give up, but something happens to bring him to a place where he has to call on God, and that relationship will be established. I'm praying for it. Yes, I am.
Amen. Dr. Susie, when we're talking about this illustration about Robinson Crusoe, what came to mind as we were talking about it, real-life situations, like how the Gideons just place a Bible in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of people that have gone to the hotel rooms to end it all, and they picked
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Come on.
They picked up the Bible.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you,
on that, because in the back of those Bibles, they have the plan of salvation, and they have places to go when you have need and you don't know the Bible. They take that into consideration by the Holy Spirit, led them to put these scriptures to find, and people read them, and there's thousands, if not millions of people that have the testimony where they called out to the Lord, and God delivered them, and they are giving him glory yet today because of what they did of calling out to the Lord, and God delivered
Bishop,
them.
Bishop, thank you for bringing it up. And I ask you guys, I have several veteran friends that know the Lord, but they cannot forgive themselves for what they have done. And as a result, they try to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God they were unsuccessful. But they knew the Lord, but they cannot forgive themselves and struggle to believe that God could forgive them either. So I'm asking, have mercy.
Thank you, God.
That as you go through the week, that you would lift these people up, that those who don't know how to trust God, those who are afraid to trust God, the young who don't know God and don't think God is of value, have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Please lift them up. Please lift them up. They just came to mind. So, Bishop, could you pray for them now? I'm sorry. Please. It's just too heavy on my mind. Would you pray for them?
Thank you, God. We bless you. We glorify you. We honor you. And those troubled souls, my God. Mm.
Thank you.
Those troubled souls, young and old, veterans, people that have been in abusive situations, my God. People that don't even believe in themselves anymore because they've been beaten down by life's circumstances and by fake friends and by false rumors and things that they've done to themselves, self-inflicted wounds. God, you are able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. And we pray that the ideation of suicide will be taken away from them, delivered tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we set them free by the power of God. Holy Spirit, put your whole hand on them right now. Love on them. Love on them tonight like they've never been loved before. Oh, somebody listening to us right now is struggling, and I want to tell you right now, God loves you. Don't hurt yourself. Glory to God. Don't hurt yourself. God wants to heal that wound which has been festering for years. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would start to close that wound right now.
Yes, Lord.
That wounded word. Jesus. That wounded spirit. Who can bear? But, Lord, you can heal the wounded spirit right now. And we, too, on earth, agree as touching any one thing. We speak to that spirit right now and say, be healed.
Yes,
in
Lord.
The mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bless you, we glorify you, we honor you in Jesus' name. My friend,
Jesus
loves you.
Yes.
He loves you with a love that you can never understand. He loves you so much, he died for you. And he woke up with you on his mind. Hallelujah. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, what came to mind as I was listening is this brokenness that we've been talking about. It's this brokenness that sometimes God has to break us first.
Yes.
Yes. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we have to be broken.
Yes.
Jesus, in order
in spirit,
for
mercy,
the oil
Lord.
To flow from the olive, that
again,
olive has to be crushed.
It has
in
to be
order
yes, in order to get the oil to flow.
From the olive, the olive has to be crushed in order to get the juice from
the
grape to where
oil.
We drink the wine.
Yes.
That grape has to be crushed, has to be stepped on. But it's fit for the master's use. If you've been broken, you're in the right place. If you've been broken, if you've been stepped on, if you've been abused, oh, my God, a ministry is waiting for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you.
The Lord says to you, call upon me in the day of trouble.
Yes.
I will deliver you, and you will glorify me.
Thank you, God.
So that's an important scripture for us tonight.
Amen.
Spurgeon says, of what use is comfort to those who are not in distress? What does that mean?
Yes.
What does that mean? What use is comfort to those who are not in distress? When you go through something, when you've been
Come
dealing
on,
with life, when you've lost a child, when you've been kicked out of school, when you've done everything you can on your job and you lose it anyway, when you got to figure out how to feed your babies and you ain't got no money, come on, somebody.
Come on.
Call upon the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it says. So he talks about that those whose hearts need cheering and the assurance of gracious God that will dance for joy. A sad heart, that says, will be enabled to receive assurance as it shines forth in the text. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. So this is, you know, what Spurgeon spends a full chapter talking about. So let me ask you guys a couple of questions. There four concepts that he talks about that he wants to write about. He wants to talk about being real before God. So what do y'all think he – come on, I hear you going, Margaret. What are you thinking about that?
I recall that he wrote that God prefers realism to ritualism, that rituals are not pleasing to God. And then he referred us to the text in Psalm 50, verses 8 through 15, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me.
Mm-hmm.
So praise and prayer are what the Lord
wants
from us.
Do you believe that God doesn't like ritual, or is it he doesn't like fake rituals or rituals that you allow you to? Because I think God has in the scripture, I remember, he does ask us to do certain things before him, but it's your attitude in doing them. It's what's behind what you do. What do you think about that? What do you think about that, Bishop? Is it that he doesn't like any ritual whatsoever?
Well, for example, this scripture we're familiar with. What is this bleating of sheep I hear? When Saul was commanded to go and kill everything. Kill the women, the children, the oxen, the sheep. And, you know, so Saul reinterprets what God said. Who was the sacrifice? He said, I bought these back so I could sacrifice. Well, who was going to get really, and this goes right in what we're talking about, who was going to get the glory out of this sacrifice, God or Saul?
Saul.
He said, because you have disobeyed me, since you have disobeyed the Lord, you are no longer king. Mm. That's that ritualist. Yes.
Woo!
See, was that sincere, what he did? No, it wasn't sincere because he did it in disobedience. God said, kill everything. Wipe it out.
Mm.
But I altered the command of God, and I'm going to sacrifice what God told me to kill. Oops.
Mm-hmm.
Who was getting the glory out of that?
Well,
it sure wasn't God, because God's not going to glory in our disobedience to him. He was given explicit command.
Directly.
See? So, God wants us to do certain things. He wants us to offer up sacrifice. And one of the sacrifices that he wants us to offer up is a sacrifice of praise. Hello. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And that even the praise has to be what? Sincere. Oh, my. It's not just remembering the beautiful words of the beautiful worship songs, but that's got to be in your heart and in your spirit. When we say, I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. You're not singing it to the people to hear how mellifluous your voice is. You're singing it to God, Elohim, El Shaddai. You're singing it to Jehovah Yireh, Jehovah Nisi. You're singing to God. You're ministering to God.
So Bishop and Mark, when we're talking about rituals, you know, there were all kind of rituals. Making the sign of the cross is a ritual. It talks about religion defined as a belief in a deity. It talks about you can find those rituals in Judaism, in Islam, in Protestant liturgical high church, in Eastern Orthodox. All of these have rituals. The Mosaic Law. The sprinkling of water, the sprinkling of blood, the washing of, all of this are rituals.
Yes.
But the issue is, there's an issue. The issue is when we do whatever ritual that we're choosing to participate in, don't you understand that it's relationship-based? Christianity, our religion is relationship-based. You have to have an authentic, come on somebody, relationship with the God that you serve. For when you do the ritual, you're doing out of relationship, out of the passion of your heart. It's not just something you do blindly and without any type of connection to the God that
Amen.
You serve. And I think that's what he's
Amen.
Talking about. He's talking yeah. about doing it. What's the word that he used, Margaret? I think he said real versus ritualism. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Authentic,
mm-hmm. yes.
Being real about it because you got the relationship. Not going to church and singing in the choir just because you want to go and have somebody see you or because you like to sing and want to show off and give glory to yourself. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It's talking about when you offer up a gift to God, singing, playing the piano, serving as a deacon or as an usher or whatever you're doing as far as giving God glory or your gift, using the gift that God has given you, that can be misused and misconstrued because you're not being real before God. You're just doing it ritualistically. You're just doing it for show.
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen, Walls. Come
do.
On.
I do. Yes. I do.
I have a friend who said to me that his buddies were all, that they were Christian. And he says, I got my friends are Christian. We go to church and he and his wife and our family, we all hang out. But then he told me that they were out hunting and his binoculars came up missing, his very expensive binoculars. And his friend said they didn't know what happened to him. And one day he was driving his car and he dropped something on the floor between the seats. And he had to look up under the seat, and guess what was under the seat? His binoculars.
Binoculars.
Now, how you going to say that your friend is a Christian who stole binoculars from you and lied? See, sometimes we play it off, and we don't realize that our actions speak louder than words.
Amen.
God says ritual, what does he say, is better than, what does he say? Is obedience
is
better,
than
sacrifice.
Yeah.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Come on
so
now.
We have to understand that we have to be real before God. And he said real prayer has meaning. What is he talking about when he said real prayer has meaning?
Well,
he says, when grace is absent, there's no meaning in ritual. What does he mean?
Well, grace is absent if there's no connection with God.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
No Holy Spirit presence.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, and I'm not knocking anyone who does this. There are books of prayer, where they have certain prayers for certain things in these books of prayer. But to just read that without any passion, without any connection, just read it, you might as well be reading Mark Twain or Langston Hughes or Alex Haley or Time Magazine, because it's not going to God. You're just reading it. But when there's grace present, when you're actually praying, even if you don't know the words to say and you're reading this and say, God, I'm reading this to you as best I know how because I don't know how to talk to you yet. There's some passion there. You're believing. You're doing it in the act of faith. You're doing it with conviction. Grace is present there. But when you do it without that, you're just like, well, I'm going to read this. So maybe if God is up there, if he really exists, well, God's not, you know, really, he's not entertaining that.
And maybe that's why he says that God prefers the prayers of a broken heart, come on, to the finest service
Amen.
Performed by priests and choirs. I want us to hear that. That's important. It's more important somebody praying with a broken heart, with sincerity, with conviction, with pleading, with the ability to plead his case from a point of urgency, humility, come on, than somebody who's standing
yeah.
and orating and praying.
Yeah. Amen.
So it says real prayer has spiritual life. What does that mean? Real prayer has spiritual life.
Oh, my goodness. That's, man, when you are really involved in praying,
mm-hmm.
real prayer, and it doesn't have to be
right.
all loud and everything, but, I mean, there's a burden for someone. You're praying for someone. You're praying for yourself. You're praying for your country. You're praying for a revival. There's that life in there. You're praying. You're seeking the face of Almighty God, and you're aware of what the weight is, and sometimes doesn't he? God gives us a burden that you can feel, a burden of prayer, a burden for prayer, for whatever it is. Somebody may be sick with cancer. You carry that burden. And that's that. There's life in that. There's compassion in that. There's the peace. The Holy Spirit is involved in that, and guides us and leads us. Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit tells us to pray? He initiates the prayer, and the Holy Spirit guides us through the prayer
mm-hmm.
to God mm-hmm. Almighty. I think that's interesting. You know, the Lord allows us to become part of the work of the Lord.
Well,
God could do it, but God invites us to be a part of the work that he's set forth in this world. Amen. That's what that means.
So is that why John 4:24 says, they that worship him must do what? Worship him.
Worship in spirit.
In spirit.
And in
truth.
And in truth.
God is spirit. God's substance is spirit. So we cannot
and
worship God.
And that's all
God.
He's going to accept. That's all he's going to accept.
He's not going to. Not. He's not. We can't worship God in flesh and in a lie. Oops. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Mm. And
so
the truth
when we're
is,
in real. Go ahead.
Yeah. Truth is, God.
So when
is
we're
listening.
Having real prayer, do we
yeah.
recognize God in that?
I should hope so. When we're really praying, you know, I mean, what and it goes up to, you know, what Spurgeon had talked about. Is, you know, that God, if you're there, you know, now, to you know, to be fair, that person that's praying for the first time who's not sure that God is there, I can kind of get that for the first time. You know, and then the Holy Spirit urges and tenderly pushes us towards God, draws us near to him. That's one thing. But when you're just like, well, God, if you're up there, you know, just glibly praying, no. That's a hard no. Just glibly, just say, I'm going to try this prayer thing, see if it works. Well, are you coming to God in faith or are you coming to God in doubt? I'm just going to see if it works. You're going to do an experiment. Okay. Tell me how that works out for you. He that first comes to God must first what? Believe that he is. He that comes to God must first believe that God exists. Not only is that God exists, but God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. To answer that question, you know, we have to be very conscious of who we are praying to. We're praying to the Creator of the universe.
Right.
Through the person whom all power has been given to in
yes.
heaven and earth.
And he's saying for us to understand, and he keeps reiterating over and over and over about the heart or the mind or the soul breaks through itself to get to its God. Then God is glorified. He's saying that the person who is perishing and feels that only God, come on somebody,
only God
can save him, then that person believes that God exists, or else he wouldn't make such a passionate prayer to God. And that's
Amen.
What God is looking for.
Amen.
And you know, yeah, I keep telling myself today, I was thinking about the Hebrew boys.
Mm-hmm.
When King Nebuchadnezzar said that they had to bow down to the idol or be thrown into the fire that was heated 7 times hotter than it ought to be. How many times?
7 times.
All right.
And it's already hot because it's a furnace.
Well,
you going to make it
and then
7 times hotter than
their answer. Their answer was, it doesn't even matter if God does not come through. Still believe. What did he say, Bishop?
He said God is still able to deliver us, even if
he's
he doesn't
still
deliver
able to deliver, even if he doesn't come through. Even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. We will serve him no matter what. And that's that passion that he's talking about, that heart broken to God that believes that God exists, that is passionate in their prayer to God. And the prayer was so passionate that not only did God hear them, but God had to show up. Ha.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. God had to show up for that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The fourth man in the fiery furnace.
There it is.
Mm-mm-mm.
So it's that sincerity in real prayer that God delights in, right?
Yeah.
And he contrasts that with prayers that are hypocrisy, prayers that are not authentic, prayers where it does not move us into action. What does he mean by that, a prayer that don't move us into action? What is he talking about, Margaret? Are you there? When he says prayers that don't move us into action, what kind of prayer will not move us into action?
It's insincere, certainly. It's
yep.
That's I didn't hear what Margaret said.
I can just, I keep sleeping out. Yes.
Yeah.
Because we've got some crying babies in the background.
Are you okay?
Sorry about that.
No problem.
So I've been going on and off.
It's insincere. When we talk about insincere prayer, that's what he's saying will not work for God. He sees that as hypocrisy. But when we're sincere, when we're praying because we're in trouble, and we are intense when we pray, nothing can separate us from what we're trying to do. We've got an objective and a goal, and nobody's going to stop us from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How else do you see that, Bishop?
Oh, my goodness. Lately, I've seen it a lot with the pandemic, with things that are, you know, troubling our country socially, economically. I've seen some people that were kind of lukewarm in their prayer life, but my goodness, they've gotten down to business because they realize, like a lot of other folks, that God is real. And the only way that we're going to come out of the situations that we're in is we're going to go through God. Because everything else is temporary and will fail away. So we're coming sincere now. We're really at, theologically and eschatologically, we're at where the rubber meets the road. Amen. A lot of us are like, okay, God ain't playing. Earthquakes in different places, saber rattling all over the world, in Asia and in Europe, and even here in the United States, saber rattling. So it's time to get real. So we're seeing the sincere prayers of the righteous. And no matter what our affiliation is, I believe God is the God that can bring every side together. Because guess what? At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. Hallelujah. There's no big eyes, no little U's, no rich, no poor. We're all equal in the eyesight of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And we have just
and
as much right
eyes
to call upon. Come on, Doc. And in
no,
the
I was just
of,
saying, if, when we talk about how God has to break us with the tsunami, how God has to break
come
us
on
with the hurricane, how God has to break us with flooding, how God has to break us with fires, how God has to break us,
come on,
what is it going to take? That's what God is trying to do to get our attention, so that we have intense prayer, so that the prayers
yeah
that we pray come from our hearts, from the deepest part of us, crying out to the deepest part of who we know and believe God is and can be to us. That's what God
yeah
is seeking, to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Amen.
So God loves sincerity. When we mean it,
and
when the soul melts in prayer, when we see I must have it or be lost, it says when it's no sham, no vain performance, but a real heartbreaking, agonizing cry, then God accepts it. And he says, what's the scripture, Margaret? Call upon me.
Call upon me in the day of trouble,
yes,
and I will deliver thee.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a cry of worship. That's a cry
yeah
of need. That's a cry of trust. That's a cry
and
of knowing that the God that you serve
me
is able to do anything
amen
except fail.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Real prayer has
hallelujah
humility. What's that talking about, sis? When we talk about real prayer has humility.
Well,
when we talk about
it's,
oh, go ahead.
When
go ahead,
we are troubled, when we have real trouble upon our shoulders, it is humbling. And we have humility because we're not in the uneasy street where a great deal of those pretentious, I'll call them straight-out false prayers arise that are ritualistic, that are pre-written, that even are accompanied by performances in the church. Some of the big churches, they have drama directors. The children don't sing. They have a pre-recorded children's song that they blast out. And the children are even props. That
mm-hmm
that must be just disgusting to the Lord. And that goes on in our country. A big money is generated and taken into the coffers of the church, and it's all about the splendor. But genuine prayer humbles the soul.
Yeah.
And that is where humility is.
When we see God for who God really is, that in itself is a humbling experience. I've been in services where I have physically felt the presence of God.
Praise God.
I'm trying to tell you, if that don't humble you, nothing will.
Oh,
there is
yeah
nothing like God's presence.
Yes.
When we see people getting healed, when we see demons come screaming out of people. You know that ain't you. Hello. You know that's not you that's doing the big thing. It's God.
Thank you, Lord.
It's God. And so that same God that did all of those signs and wonders and exploits, that's who we pray to. And we're going in like real prayer? Real prayer? So we're going into real prayer to come before the throne room of grace, whereby we may obtain mercy. We boldly come before him because it is a bold act just to come in his presence. It's boldness.
Yes.
And what are we coming for? To obtain mercy. Isn't that something? We have to do something bold to get the mercy.
Well,
we've got to come before God. You know why? Because God knows the truth about us. God knows we need mercy before we come before the throne. But it's still, you got to do something bold and come before the throne. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, this is Dr. Susie. I was thinking, I'm going to step back a bit about the humility part. Because what came to me was Isaiah 6, in the year King Uzziah died, then I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple, attending him, were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. Can you imagine what that would look like if you walked into the temple and you saw an angelic being that had six freaking wings? And two wings covered their faces, two covered their feet, and two, they flew. Have mercy. And then they were crying out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And it said, bless and shook the temple. I don't know about you, but it shakes me even when I read it. I don't know about you, but when I listen to it, I'm humbled because I think in my imagination what that would be like. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I wasn't there with Isaiah, but I think about today if I would even see that in my – have mercy, Lord, on me. Have mercy. It says, Isaiah said, I'm doomed, for I'm a sinner. I have filthy lips. I live among filthy people. Have mercy, Lord. I'm not worthy to stand before you. I'm not worthy to come before your throne. I'm not worthy to even offer this prayer. I'm not worthy, but gracious and merciful you are to me, O God, that you give me an opportunity. Hallelujah. Just to sit at your feet. Hallelujah. You give me an opportunity, Lord, just to cry out your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for being patient with me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because
you,
of your son, Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And hallelujah. Dr. Susie, the Lord just tears upon my heart to pray for those who do not know you, for those who are foolish, for those who are not sincere because they don't know how to be sincere. Father God, I just pray for those who are lost, those who have not learned how to please you in their prayer life. I pray that they would learn, that the Holy Spirit would infill them, guide them, and help them, for there are many who do not know how to please the Lord, who have not heard the Holy Scripture, who need to hear it. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Many are troubled today. And the Lord will save them. They have but to call upon his name and cry for his mercy and do it in humility, in sincerity of heart,
and in
real prayer. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he's asking right now, in the name of Jesus, he's asking whoever's listening. He said, what is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? Are you torn with anguish? Are you distressed? Are you lonely? Are you pushed aside? Then you need to do one thing. The scripture says, cry out, hallelujah. Mm. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is your only help. Cry out to them. Cry out to him. And he says, worship him in spirit and truth. Cry out to him with the sincerity of your heart. Cry out to him with humility, understanding that that's the only place you're going to find relief. The only
place.
Thank
you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo. Micah 6:7 says he desires a sincere cry, far more than the slaughter of 10,000 rams or the pouring out of rivers of oil. He loves to hear us cry out. So whoever you are, if you are even wondering if God is interested in you, cry out and let God hear your plea. Cry out and let God understand what your heart is feeling and what your heart is saying. God is interested in hearing your heart's desire. Hallelujah. He wants to hear your burden, spirit. He wants to hear what's in your heart. He says a woeful cry. Woo! Have mercy.
Thank you, God.
Have mercy. Have
mercy.
And then he says, how do we take advantage of adversity? This is our last piece. How we take advantage of adversity?
Mm-mm-mm.
And the promised grace. How we do that? We may have to catch this up with it next week.
It's a big one, but certainly I, as a Christian, have come to witness that many times good comes out of trouble. When we lean upon the Lord and seek his help, when we obey the command in the scripture we've been looking at this evening, when we call upon the Lord in time of trouble, good things can happen. Not only can we be delivered from our trouble, but blessings may come to pass and grace may abound.
Amen.
The Lord can perform miracles. Let's not forget that when all hope appears to be lost. He is God of deliverance. And he is, the victory is his.
Amen.
In the battle.
Amen. Amen. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Amen.
So, as we close tonight, we want to remind you, we just want to remind you of the things that were said about real prayer tonight, that we have to be real before the Lord. The prayer has meaning, that real prayer has a spiritual life and recognizes God and is sincere and is humble with humility. And faith abounds. And sometimes we have to take advantage of adversity when it occurs, because that gives us an opportunity to reach out to the God who can help us, to understand that it's my Lord that says that we can call upon him in the day of trouble, that the hour that God has appointed for us to appeal to him is in that dark time. And that's our opportunity to handle, on how to handle that adversity. And then he understands that God promises his grace that is free. All we have to do is receive it. It's free. All we have to do is believe it. It's free. And so we look at that, and he says that our trial may not have yet worked all the good for us that it was sent to do, and therefore it must last longer sometimes. Ooh, that scared me when I said, oh, Lord. When the gold is cast in the refiner's fire, it might cry to the goldsmith, let me out. No, he says, you have not yet lost your dross. You know what he's talking about? When the silversmith looks into it, he keeps it in the fire until it is a clear reflection of him. Sometimes God has to let us stay in the trouble until we are broken and ready to receive what God. Woo!
Amen.
In the matchless name of Jesus, we turn. So we have to take turns with God, and we have to understand that as we do that, then God provides. So tonight, Bishop, would you lift a invitation as I prepare to close out?
Yes, Dr. Susan, with pleasure. You're feeling something right now. You are feeling the presence of Almighty God. I'm not going to waste any time. Lord Jesus, my friend is listening to you right now and wants to know you. My friend, all you have to do is say, Lord, come into my heart. I confess that you are the Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And according to that, in Romans 10:9-10, I am born again. Now, my friend, I want you to find a church that believes in the Bible, that teaches the Bible, that does their best to live what the Bible says. And I want you to tune in with us every Tuesday night, and Dr. Susie is going to tell you about that. But welcome, my brother, my sister, to the family of God. You chose the right time to come on home. God's been calling you for a long time. Welcome home. Welcome to the family of God.
Amen. So we ask that you, those of you who receive the Lord Jesus Christ, feel free to give us a call at, I lost my space, at 646-478-4932. And let us know, join us next week in the Bible study, or if you want to let us know that you received the Lord, feel free to email us at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com and give us your wonderful report of how God is working in your life and even maybe some topics that you'd like to study. And we want to thank you for joining us tonight, and we look forward to having you be with us every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish. PM, and again, feel free to call in at 646-478-4932. God's blessings be with you. Join us next week and bring someone with you. Have a wonderful evening, and God's blessings be with you.
Thank you.
God bless y'all.
Good night.
Love y'all.
Love
good
you
night.
Too. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.